pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Lord, be with you, Brother Forrest.
Good to be here and to be with the church here at Happy Creek one more time. But any time, regardless of where, that God's children can gather together in a church capacity, and that word church means called out assembly, of the Lord's people to weakly and feebly, and yet, through Him, there is a power.
Amen.
That comes forth in spite of all of the weakness that we are, and blesses us with the felt presence of God. And any time we're gathered together in that capacity is a good time, regardless of where and when. And it's surprising, it shouldn't be, but it is surprising sometimes how the Lord can pour out His blessings upon us.
Yeah.
And it's also, it shouldn't be, but it's sometimes surprising that how we can try to conjure up that blessing of the Lord, and if He doesn't provide it, it's just not there.
Not there.
And we live in a world where that is very common practice, when life for even God's children has become more about man and what man can do than about what God can, has, and does do for His children.
Amen.
And it doesn't take long for a person to become puffed up in who we are, And I mean that in a subtle sense, where we really don't even understand that we're puffed up.
Right.
We think about hypocrisy and things of that nature, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and we think about the things they said and taught, and we sometimes forget that while there were those there among them who were puffed up and really, I mean, all they thought about was themselves and they really didn't care. There were those among them that were striving to serve the Lord.
Right.
And were, in their heart, they were intending to do the right thing, but became puffed up because of the leaven, the doctrinal teaching that was around back then.
Right.
And it should be my hope and prayer that despite the fact that leaven is still among us today, that we won't ever be allowed to continue in that condition.
Right.
That the Lord would bless us to see our faults.
Jesus.
And to acknowledge our faults, that we may be forgiven, and
yeah,
that we may continue in His fellowship. Because that's the whole purpose of the church. It's not to populate heaven.
No. Nope.
It's not really even to grow the body here. I mean, as much as we like to see that, it's not about growing the congregation. It's about feeding the congregations here that we may grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That we may grow up into Him being our head, and that we may have a closer communion with Him while we live here on this earth. So that whether many or few that come for the Word of God, it's a great blessing when He opens our eyes to see His goodness and mercy towards us. I have some scripture to read in your hearing, and I ask you to be in prayer for me. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' Then Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for the God is with you.' And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning, and since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore.'"
Yeah.
Now, when we begin with this portion of Scripture, King David has come largely to the power of his kingdom, and the Lord has blessed him through many trials and tribulations and much hardship. Yet the Lord has blessed him over and over again in being king and having the nation of Israel under him. And as David had built homes for himself, and as he had become settled in with his kingdom, and here's a man who was after God's own heart and who knew and understood that the Lord had provided the things for him that he had.
Right.
And he says, and it says here, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that he said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' And Nathan said,
Yeah.
God is with you.
Do
whatever is thy will. The Lord's with you.'" Now David here has no ill will or no ill intentions at all.
Means well.
He's looking at what God has blessed him with and how the Lord has fulfilled the promises that he's made in raising up the children of Israel and in blessing him as king and making the nation of Israel into the powerful nation it was under David. And he saw that and understood that the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant specifically, was still under curtains. In other words, the nation of Israel had been blessed, and the kingdom had been subdued, and peace was beginning to come around David, and his enemies were largely subdued around him, despite the fact that he had been a man of war and had fought many, many battles for the Lord's sake. And he sees that he's living in a house of cedar, that the children of Israel are possessing the land and prospering and growing in the kingdom. And what he really sees is that the Ark of the Covenant is still in the tabernacle that Moses had been commanded. In other words, it's still under the tent that Moses had commanded that it be built under, as he had received that from the Lord God of heaven. And he thought to himself, I'll build a house of cedar for the Lord, for his tabernacle. And mind you, David understood that the Ark of the Covenant wasn't just a gold overlaid box. I mean, right. He understood that wood that was overlaid with gold and the cherubims on top and with the mercy. He understood that box overlaid with gold with the cherubims on top and the Ten Commandments unbroken within and the rod that budded. He understood, and the manna, that these things were an emblem or picture of his Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And he's thinking to himself, good. We've prospered. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has strengthened us. I want to do something for the Lord. And he's thinking, I'll build a house.
Yeah.
And so it won't have to sit under the tent anymore.
Seems good.
And it'll be in a stationary place. It'll be a single place. And everything seemed all right.
Yeah.
And he tells Nathan the prophet, and it's just because a minister of the gospel or someone tells you something doesn't necessarily mean that it's so.
Amen.
He tells Nathan the prophet that, and Nathan says, the Lord's with you. Do whatever you want. You know, do it. And then later that night, the Lord comes to Nathan.
Yeah.
And he tells him, here's what you need to tell David. And he told him that he hadn't asked to have a house built. He had dwelt with the children of Israel where they went, he went. And he went from tent to tent, from place to place.
Right.
Wherever his children were is where he was.
Right.
And there's a picture in that. And I may not dwell too deeply into that here this afternoon, but there's a picture in that of how the Lord dwells with his people wherever we are.
Amen.
Right.
So we don't have to be at a specific place, and we don't have to be in a certain condition, and we don't have to find certain physical or outward or what have been normal even situations for us to be in the presence and communion of God.
Amen.
The Lord said, I've been with you. I went from tent to tent. I went where my people went. And underlying all that is, I went, but I was fighting your battles.
Yes.
I was the pillar in the cloud.
Absolutely.
I was the pillar of fire. I was the one who supplied the manna.
Right.
I was the one that caused Aaron's rod to bud.
Amen.
I was the one who gave those Amen. Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
And the pattern by which you see the ark and the tabernacle that it sets in.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
That's all about what I command. And so he tells Nathan to tell David, I've done all this. And to further remind him that I never asked for a house of cedars. And to remember that I took you from the sheep cote. In other words, he was just a shepherd boy following the sheep.
I helped you.
And I brought you out of that to be the king of the nation of Israel, that I brought out fighting all those battles before you, delivering you time and time again. And I made you like unto the great man of this world. Now, the Lord's just reminding David there of who he is.
Exactly.
He sometimes we have this tendency, and in the world it's very prominent, and if we're not careful, we can fall into it ourselves. Many times when the Lord corrects his people, sometimes people act like he just rains down the far, you know. When many times he just reminds us and humbles us, and that can seem harsh to us, or like the Lord doesn't love us anymore. But what he's doing is reminding David of where he came from and all he had exalted him to. And even though this thing that David had desired was not something terrible in and of itself or bad in and of itself, it was not what God had in mind.
Exactly.
And we as God's children, even today, need to remember that it's not what we think God would want, but what does God want of us himself? And so he reminds David of all of these things, or tells Nathan to remind David of all of these things. And he says, I'll ordain a place for my people Israel. Plant them and they shall dwell in their place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people. He says, moreover, I'll subdue all thine enemies. And furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. That's important here to understand. We know, this not being the first time that we've read the Bible and heard these things spoken about, we know that David's son Solomon will later build the temple.
Right.
And we understand that the Lord had that to be done. But the temple is not what in this particular passage of Scripture is being talked about by our Lord when he says, I'll build thee a house. Temple was part of the old law service. It was something, it was David's son who built it after David died, and there's some typical pictures in all of that. And certainly the Lord himself had that done through Solomon. But what we need to understand and what is so many times missed is that the Lord is saying here to David that when you're gone, of thy sons, I'll raise up, I will build a house for you of the seed of your son. I'm going to build a kingdom for you. I'm going to build a place for you to dwell in. And I'm going to raise up of your sons, your genealogy, at some point in time down the road, which he didn't say how long at the time, that I'm going to raise up one who will build a kingdom and a house that will last forevermore.
Forever.
It's not going to be here for a few hundred years or so and then be destroyed. It's not something that's going to be here a little while and then diminished a little while and then back a little while. But I'm going to set up a kingdom through your posterity that's going to overshadow this kingdom and the temple that Solomon is going to build. And all that the children of Israel have in their prominence, and it'll overshadow all the kingdoms of all the world. And he's talking about the church of the true and living God.
Right. Yeah.
It's a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. It's
exactly.
Not a great tower on a hill or something that can be seen and noticed and thought of greatly by man, as a man, by nature. But there's a kingdom coming, he promises David. It's coming of thy lineage, and it will be thy son that sets it up. And his kingdom will last forever. He said, I'll raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy from him as I took it from him that was before thee, but I will settle him in my kingdom, and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established
forevermore. Amen.
Now we're today in a kingdom, in that self-same kingdom. When our Lord and Savior came on to the scene, well, when you think about John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of our Lord and Savior, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, he preached repentance and the kingdom.
Right.
And our Lord and Savior came, and what did he preach? The kingdom. What were the Jewish people and everyone looking for? The kingdom. Our Lord and Savior came and he preached and taught over and over and over again about the kingdom.
Amen.
A kingdom that would be a spiritual house.
Right.
A holy nation.
Right.
A peculiar people. Zealous of good works. A place where God's children could come out of the worries and cares of this world and gather for a little season. And have our pure minds stirred up of the beauty and glory of the God of heaven who has provided all these things for us. To be reminded over and over again, because we have a tendency to forget, that God has promised never to leave you and never to forsake you. And that despite all of the teachings that are out in the world, the things went down just as God had intended for them to happen. I know that there are people, and many in the Christian community are wrapped up in the idea that Jerusalem needs to be resettled and that they need to build the temple over there. And there's a whole doctrinal train of thought, and it's not just Jewish anymore. Christians have addressed that and tried to get in on that, so to speak. The same error, the idea that that kingdom was the forever kingdom, when the reality was all along that kingdom was going to be done away with.
Right.
The literal intent was that the Old Testament kingdom would be replaced by the New Testament kingdom. Okay. That the church of God, which was really with Abraham in his day and his immediate family, and which through Isaac then was made into a nation and delivered the law and the law service and that temple worship service. And that blessing, remember that the Israelites, the children there of Abraham, were delivered a blessing that no other people on the face of the earth had.
Amen.
They were God's chosen people. Not that they were the only ones who were God's people, but that they were the ones who in that day and time had the truth of the revelation of God.
Amen.
Of who he was, who he is, and what he was going to do for his people.
Absolutely.
Both Jew and Gentile.
Right.
And we can see all through that law of service, even though Gentiles were kept away from large portions of that, we see that them being partakers, you know, there was a Gentile court. There were certain aspects. There was a recognition in that old law service that though they didn't have the kingdom, that God had a people among them. And many of them, through tradition, had begun to believe that they were the only ones that had it. And the only ones that were ever going to have it. And that is still going on today. and many of God's children become caught up in that. Many people in the Christian world understand so little about what the kingdom is that they're still trying to set up the Old Testament kingdom just like the disciples were when our Lord and Savior came.
Amen.
And have missed the point. They'll tell you that the prophets missed the church age in their prophecies. And you know, I've had them tell me that the prophets didn't understand the church age and they missed all that. And it basically, what they believe is that God didn't understand that the Jewish people were going to reject him. So he had to do a makeshift, so to speak. When the reality was, you know, Abraham, his immediate family, his posterity in the nation made out of that, all of those were chosen by God to have that truth.
Right.
Each in their own age. But it was pleasing God when this kingdom was set up that he's promising David here that it's going to go out into all the world. And that it won't be just the nation and kingdom of Israel.
Right.
And that this will be an everlasting kingdom where God's children are built up in their spirituality. And instead of foretelling the coming of their Lord and Savior, what do? We tell about what all he did.
Amen.
You see? There was purpose for all they did. Sometimes we say, oh, the old law, it was like a waste of time. No, it pointed to
Christ,
the coming of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And it showed that he was coming, and the meticulousness of the detail of that is astronomical when you think. I mean, the number of different writers they were over the length of time that it was, it's no way men could have put that together.
No, sir.
Just no way. But God delivered it.
Amen.
And it all fit together.
Right.
Just perfectly.
Yeah.
You know. And it was the intent for that Old Testament kingdom to point to the coming of Christ until he came. And they should have testified, and there were those who did. It was a case, we said here yesterday, that, you know, whom say men that I am.
Yeah.
Different ones said different things.
Right.
The Lord said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
But of course, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him.
No, sir.
But my Father, which is in heaven. You see, if the majority of the Jewish kingdom had really been involved in and really been in tune to everything that the law and prophets taught and that whole worship service taught, they would have understood who he was. You know, it would have been, we foretold he's coming, now he's here.
Right.
But of course, they didn't see him.
Exactly.
If the Lord walked in and sat down in your average Christian church today, how many of us would know who he was? If we saw him walking down the street, how many of us would really know who he is? It's a sad thing to say that was the case then. But what's it like today for a great many of God's children? And remind you, they're still God's children.
Right.
And what we do in the New Testament kingdom is we're telling you that, see, all the things that they pointed to, they all came true.
Amen.
You see. And the Lord came. He gave himself a sacrifice for a burnt offering. And the Son of God came and put away the need for those sacrifices and the shedding of that blood forevermore by shedding his own blood on the cross of Calvary. And by setting up that kingdom which you and I dwell in today, and we call it the Church of the Living God. A kingdom that will last forever. There's not another time coming. You know, there's not going to be another dispensation of time.
Right.
There's not going to be any of those other things. And if you ever see over in Jerusalem, if you was to ever see in your lifetime a building go up where that mosque is now and being built, remember that'll be Antichrist. That's not going to be the Lord's doing there. Although many of God's children might be wrapped up in it and deceived by old Satan himself. But no, the kingdom of God is still moving with his people.
Amen.
Wherever we go, he's there. He's still a pillar of fire. He's still a cloud over us. It may not be so visible as it was in the days of the children of Israel traveling there. But he's still watching over and ruling and reigning in the hearts and minds of his people. And his kingdom is established and shall continue forevermore. Now there's coming a time when the kingdom will be moved off of this earth.
Amen.
Into heaven's pure world.
Amen.
In other words, when time shall be no more, when the Lord comes back a second time without sin unto salvation, the kingdom will remove from this earth.
Amen.
And all of God's children
will
be in heaven's pure world where sin and sorrow and heartache and grief exist no more.
Amen.
But until then, until then, God's children should strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Right.
That we may have fellowship and communion with God and rejoice in him with what he has revealed for us to know about him. Men have sought, you know, a lot of what philosophy is just man's idea of who God ought to be based upon experiences in this life. It's basically all it is. And you can call that religion, you can call it philosophy, but it's man trying to figure out oftentimes real experiences that God's children have. But by the wisdom of this world, we just can't get that.
Right.
We can't come to the understanding of that. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in the sense that the gospel saves, in other words, in the sense of brightening our understanding, and giving us a greater view, if you will, of the glory of God, of the risen Savior, and all that he's done and is doing for us. In that sense, the gospel does indeed save us. And you can't get that anywhere else but in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nowhere else at all. Many of God's children will be lost to it. Heaven will still be their home. But they'll be lost to that. You know, you and I have been delivered to it. We've been blessed to have it. I hope and pray that we'll never let it go here.
Amen.
May the Lord add his blessings. It's my
hope
and prayer.
Amen. Bless your heart, Lord. Hallelujah. 69 in the little books. Love them. Bless you. Good, clear instruction.
Love you.
Amen. Amen. No, we're not.